for the Bible reading. So today we are hearing from two parts of Scripture. The first one is Romans 12, verse 3 to 13. All right. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Okay, and the next Bible reading is from 1 Peter chapter 4, and we are starting at verse 7. The end of all things is near. Therefore be alert and of sober mind, so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Bron. Let's pray. If you do have particularly the Romans 12 passage open, that'd be great. Lord, we do ask that as we gather together this morning to both praise you, have your word read, reflect on your love for us and how we share it with others, that you will strengthen us both to believe and to put in practice your word as your Holy Spirit does his work in us. Help us, Lord, to not just be listeners to the word, but also doers as well. In your name, amen. Let me begin by asking you a question. One of those, you know, you don't have to call out the answer questions, rhetorical ones that I don't normally like, but I'll try it this time. How come all of you guys aren't going out to Southeast Asia? Why not? If you're a believer in Jesus, you have the good news, and we're called to go into all the earth. I'm sure Mark will remind us of that next week. I mean, hopefully he's be well enough for next week. And I guess the challenge for me is sometimes I go, so why don't I do what Christy's going to do, God willing? Why don't you do that? Rose is not looking enthusiastic about the possibility. Or maybe she's you have your skills, that's right, and she's a great treasure, which I'm not, which is one of the points of the sermon today. One of the points of the sermon today is actually to talk about our different gifts, but also to, in the end, move us back into how we can still be people who are gospel-sharing people, even if we don't go out like Christy does to other parts of the world. Next week, Mark will talk about the Great Commission particularly and what that means for us and for, I guess, the gospel for the whole world. And the week after that, Craig Brown will talk about from Engage Work Faith. He'll talk about how we think about, for our work life, for those of you who are working, how that's an opportunity also to share the gospel. So we're trying to cover, today I'm kind of looking more at our own personal home context, particularly hospitality. Next week will be the wider work of mission after that within our workplaces. Most biblical answer, I think, about not some of us going out for Christ like Christy and some of us not, is that, well, some of us probably should go out or could go out, and others of us probably shouldn't. That is, we've got different gifts, and clearly the scriptures in multiple places and in multiple contexts speaks about the different gifts that God has given to us as the Holy Spirit distributes them. Some of us have the gift of evangelism, and some of us don't have the gift of evangelism. It's interesting, I think, when Paul speaks to Timothy at one point, when he's writing to him and encouraging him in his leadership, he says, "Do the work of an evangelist." Which makes me think, Timothy's not, and the way he's described as being somewhat more timid, maybe he isn't what you might call a natural evangelist. Not one of his gifts, but he still is to share the gospel. That is really one of the basic things that we as Christians, as Christy showed with her stickers, you share good stuff you have with others. At least we are encouraged to do that. And the best thing we have, of course, is the good news of Christ. Each of us should have a deep and passionate desire to share what we know about Christ and what we receive from him, although the context in which we do it will vary from person to person. Not all of us can go out to South Asia. So we turn to passages like Romans 12, and there are numbers like it, as I said. We see God gracing his church with different types of people who have different gifts to be used to build up the body of Christ, his church. And I love the body analogy. I mean, if you think about it, I'm amazed sometimes that our bodies work at all. When you start to discover the complexity of every different part of our body, from, you know, our pancreas, whatever that is, to our stomachs work, to our eyes, to our muscles, to our nervous system, it's an extraordinarily complex thing. And it's amazing that it works at all, I reckon. When something breaks, we kind of know about that, and we go and see our friendly GP. But the body analogy for the church is that as Christ has given each of us different gifts, then we build up the body to make it work, to do the purpose that God has called us to build up the body of Christ into the head, who is Jesus. In verse 3 from Romans 12, we read, "For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you." Now, I've met people who have underestimated their gifts. Maybe they feel, because they're supposed to be humble as Christians, they don't want to put themselves forward. People have underestimated what their capacities are, as well as the opportunity to use their gifts to serve the body of Christ. And then people I want to encourage. Sometimes I meet people who overestimate their gifts. I have met people who think they're great singers but can't hold a note. I remember reading this very humorous book about a person who was so loud in his singing that everyone put their hands over their ears. It's a humorous book, it's not actually true. And in the early church they sent him to the earless lepers of Centuria to sing to them, because only they can put up with his loud singing. But he loves doing it and cares for them. Yeah, it was a funny book. Goes to my sense of humour. Here we're being reminded that we actually are to have a good assessment of ourselves. That is, not overestimating what we can do, but not underestimating it either, because God has given you particular gifts that no one else has. Again, Rose, I'm great that she's good at finance and making sure those little numbers just all add up to the right amounts at the end. Not my thing. I'm really glad she does it and does it well for us. But it wouldn't be, I could do it, but it would be a bit of a chore. Rose tells me she loves it. She does it for recreation. I don't get it, but hey. Just as each of us has one body with many members, their members do not have all the same function. If your gift is in prophecy, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it is, interestingly, there's a gift of encouragement. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. Kind of like, think of gifts like teaching like this or other things we might do, but you may actually have the gift of encouragement, the person that notices when people need that kind-hearted word. Not all of us are actually like that. I'm probably too loud and too humorous and too silly to always pick up on people's nuances that they need the care and support maybe a kind word might bring. If it is giving, then give generously. I know a guy whose goal, he had just a normal income, his goal was to give away $1 million before he died. It's his goal, to give away $1 million from his normal lifestyle circumstances before he died. That's quite the goal to have. He has a gift of giving. If it is to lead, then you are to do it diligently. That is, committed to the task with an earnestness that's appropriate. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So, what gifts do you reckon you have? It's one of those times where in a sermon like this that's spent, you know, being prepared rather quickly, you've got to do some hard work here yourself. What gifts do you think you have? Maybe, I don't know, just how do you fill it in? Maybe I have dot, dot, dot. I think part of it, part of the way to assess that is working out what you might call natural gifts, the things you are naturally good at. Sometimes we choose a career path because of that. Other times we're just aware that we are the person that picks up on the quieter person in the room and goes and have a chat to them. People often say to me, Paul, I couldn't do what you do. And I go, you know, that's absolutely fine. We don't want everybody up the front. Make it very hard to have a sermon. But you'll have gifts that I don't have, and you will notice things that I don't notice because of the way that God has shaped you as a person. At the same time, there are natural gifts. There are also what you might call spiritual gifts that are, and the Bible actually, I'm not sure makes a distinction about these, but does say if it's a gift of encouragement, doesn't sound like a spiritual gift? Well, it is because it's a gift from God to you to use in his service. And I think you actually, I would love the church, our community, to keep on looking out at each other and saying, what are the particular gifts that you could use to serve him and encourage each other with that? At the same time, you can do your own personal reflection on what God is saying to you and how the Holy Spirit leads you to particular circumstances or use of your gifts, taking up an opportunity that no one else might see to build up the body of Christ. It's my belief that God shapes particular Christian communities around the people that he's brought together for the body. There is no idealized church in Scripture, as far as I can tell. We looked at that, we looked at Acts as well. But this particular community, that I believe is the local expression of God's church, the gifts that God has given all of us here create and design the body that looks like the body that Christ wants us to be. So we don't have to be like a different, like another church somewhere else. That's how their gifts combine together to do what they do. We are the body of Christ being built up to be the body that he wants us to be in this particular place and at this particular time. And God has given us what we need. He's also given you what you need. Now the context here is to be careful about that. If you're too pushy, maybe you haven't assessed yourself with sober judgment. If you're too reluctant, maybe you haven't actually assessed yourself in the way that God has gifted you and should then actually be prepared to use those gifts. We ought to exercise these gifts with joyful enthusiasm, thankful for using, being able to use them, not grumpy, and use them as he wills. So not everyone's going to be Christy, but we all have gifts that we can use. Of the way that Romans puts it as to how we are to use them, though, from verse 9, let me read. Love must be sincere. So after the list of gifts we read about, it's got a heading. I don't always like the headings in Bibles. They kind of interrupt the flow. He goes straight from this expression of gifts and how we use them into love would be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need and practice hospitality. Do you use the word like I'm zealous to go to work today? I do my work with great fervour? No, they're not really Bible words, but they are here, and we don't use them very often these days, but they're great words when you think about it. Zeal and fervour. Just love the way it rolls off the tongue. Zeal. Sounds enthusiastic, doesn't it? This is how we are to use our gifts. Humbly, yes, but not reluctantly. Joyfully, enthusiastically to serve him in a way that is wholehearted. Don't lack zeal. Keep your spiritual fervour serving the Lord. And that last phrase is really important, I think. When I or somebody else comes up to you and says, do you reckon you could, you know, help out with the children's ministry, leading the service, being a COVID marshal, a whole lot of different things that churches do. Does that intersect with where your gifts are? That's the first question, I reckon. You're allowed to say no. You know how you're allowed to say no? Because you're actually serving the Lord. You're not serving Paul Hunt. Just because there's a need doesn't mean you have to meet it. But if you do serve, then you serve the Lord. The contract you sign to commit, we don't have contracts, but the contract you sign to commit to doing a particular ministry or using your gifts in the church, you're signing it to the Lord. And your resignation letter goes to the Lord, which I think is both, it's a higher bar, and it's also an easier one in a way as well. It's before the Lord that you've got to make the decision, not whether there's a gap or a need, or Paul Hunt says, I just need a COVID marshal, please be there on Sunday at 9:30. That's not good enough for me just to put pressure on you. That's not right. It's what the Lord is saying to you. Many years ago in a church I was in, there was a person who was helping organise morning tea, and Bill Norian brought food for morning tea and provided it, pre-COVID days. Someone looked up towards the end of the morning tea and went, oh, no biscuits or cake. And the person behind who was serving coffee and tea went, right, that's it, I'm out. And left the church over it. Although, now, there are obviously other issues, I think, behind that. But I was really sad about that for all sorts of reasons. The person wasn't being offensive when they just noted that there wasn't any left. I thought, if you're serving the Lord, now people, maybe they are grumpy and difficult. It is a church, after all. We are ordinary people. We don't always have our best days. But if we're serving the Lord, then we can cope with that kind of thing. Because it's Him that we hand our resignation into. That's how we are to exercise our gifts, with zeal, serving the Lord with spiritual fervour. We should be delighted to serve Jesus. It's an honour to use our gifts to serve Him as we reflect on how we use them. Well, let me move on to particularly the area of hospitality, because it's mentioned both in 1 Peter and in Romans 12 at the end of that passage. 1 Peter 4 puts it into our ministries into context when in verse 7 he writes, the end of all things is near. Now, I don't think we really feel that quite often, and I'm not going to preach a whole sermon on the return of Jesus being imminent. Could be tomorrow, could be today. But still, we are supposed to serve with the context that we've got time now before Jesus comes back. But how much? We don't know. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Then he talks about using our gifts to serve the Lord. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. The word hospitality in the original language actually means love of strangers. And you think about Jesus, when Mary and Joseph travelled to give birth to Jesus in Bethlehem, that's about like a 100-something kilometre journey, nowhere for them to stay. Knocking on a stranger's door in that time and saying, do you have a room for us? Can we stay the night? Was actually common. There weren't motels or hotels. People didn't travel with camping gear. There's some basic rudimentary stuff, but often it was they go to the next village and say, we need to find a place to stay, and people would have a room or a space for them to stay in. That was common. So that's part of what this is saying here. Offer hospitality, really, often to strangers without complaining, without grumbling. Now, I don't know how I'd feel about that. Someone knocking on my door saying, can we stay the night or for a couple of days? Or maybe people who do decide to stay who are friends of yours and there's no end limit. We must set a date for them to leave. But here, hospitality does mean, it certainly means meals and fellowship in your home, but it may even mean more than that. Now, I hear many examples of Christian generosity actually like this, for which I give thanks. But here, I think the other thing that would happen when he says this is that if a stranger comes, you're talking about, Christy, the area you're going to is 1% or less of people with Bible-believing Christians. When the early church started, this is one of the ways the gospel spread. People would come, knock on their door, say, people say, well, sorry, you can't stay with us, but, there's a people down the road, they're pretty nice. They've got a room for people, they often stay, people sort of stay with them. And they just happen to be Christians. They have a meal together. What do? They pray to this person called Jesus who has died but rose again. Who's this guy you're talking about when you pray to him? What about the other gods? There are no idols in your place. There's no pagan kind of worship symbols. who is it you worship? For most people in the world, actually, a spiritual conversation is a normal conversation, less so for us in Australia. So my assumption here is that as it fits in, that our hospitality, as it was in the early church, is an opportunity for to share our lives together, like maybe having a picnic next week, share our lives together, and people will just note that you've been friends with Jesus, that you are followers of the Lord Jesus. You'll do strange things like, say, what we call sometimes grace at mealtimes, or you might notice you pray with your children, if you've got children. Now, I think you can do this whether you're a single person, married, divorced, widowed, retired, working. Hospitality is how we allow space for others into our lives. Now, I know we're all busy. Sometimes I read this and I go, one more thing to do. Then I read, offer hospitality without grumbling. Now, it's also clear that some people have the gift of hospitality. They're the people that have 30 people over on a Saturday night, have a great time together, have fun and say, let's do that next week. And Leanne and I would do it and go, let's do that in a month or two's time when we've recovered. We'd rather have small groups of people or one or two rather than a whole pile of people over. We have different gifts and different ways of exercising that particular gift. So as I finish, can I encourage you to think about how God has both gifted you as a person, gifted you in your particular capacities, the way you were made, as well as what you can grow into, being neither too humble to offer or to serve, or too pushy to say, I must, but to see how God will use your gifts to serve him, to build up the body of Christ, to make this particular community the community that God has called it to be. I can also encourage you to think about how, in right attitude, with the joy and delight in serving the Lord, you can also offer hospitality. Your particular circumstances, humble or well off, whatever it is, find a way in which you can open your home or your life, your time, to others. Just kind of open that door a little bit and then see what the Lord does. Particularly, I mean, yes, we do it together as fellow believers, but particularly allow space for those who don't yet know Jesus. Because I think there aren't many people that are going to be walking off the street to this particular building. It's rare, it might happen, but it's rare. Most people are going to get to know Jesus because they got to know you. I'm sure Craig will talk about that workplace evangelism in a couple of weeks' time. But as far as our homes and life go, that's how our neighbours or our friends are going to get to know what it is to be a believer. They will know because they came to your place. They came for dinner and you said, oh look, here at our place, we actually just give thanks to God for the day and for our food. And they go, oh, okay, sure, whatever. You pray, give thanks to God. In that simple way, you're demonstrating your faith in Christ. Let me pray. Lord, help us indeed to offer hospitality without grumbling. Help us to use our gifts with zeal and delight and joy, as, Lord, it is an honour to serve you, and we do rejoice that we can use our gifts in that. We ask that you would strengthen us, both in the business of our lives, to allow space for others so they can hear about the good news of Jesus. And Lord, whether it's our neighbours, our friends, people we play sport with, or people we work with, people we hang around with in our recreation, we pray that somehow you would we're not all evangelists, we know, we're not all going to go out like Christy, but we pray you still use us to share our lives with others, and in doing so they will see who Christ is in the way we live and speak and love. We commit ourselves to you, asking you to continue to grow us in the use of our gifts to serve you, your church, and the world. In your name, amen.